All right, it's time for us to get started. If we can all focus up in this direction. We sort of stopped right in the middle of the stream last week, so I want us to just quickly set the tone, some of the things we've looked at, and then get back and to look at in detail at some of the things that we had to leave out last week that I think are important. We're going to put them in here. We're talking about faith and grace and works, and we're calling it decoding it because the religious world has mixed it all up. And it's not that the Bible is complex. I think the Bible is very obvious. Does not the Bible define what grace is? And we've let the Bible define that in this study, and then we've talked about this matter of grace. And so let's look at what we've looked at. Go to that second slide, if you would, and that is, we need to emphasize the fact that no man is perfect, and salvation to all men is by grace. You need to understand, we need grace because we're not perfect. If you were perfect and sinless, never did anything wrong, what's the need of grace? You could have knocked on heaven's door and said, you set the rules and I'm allowed to come in because I never did anything wrong and I never got separated from you. But we all need grace, but we need to understand that salvation is not by grace alone. And we've talked about what happens if individuals believe that salvation is by grace alone. But the Bible says it is by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. But God sets the limits of grace. Now, the Bible says, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, that the grace of God has appeared to all men. I find that interesting. God's grace is seen in the sunshine and the rain and in all of the blessings God gives us. And so in the book of Acts, Paul talked about the Gentiles, even though they did not have the law. I think it's about verse 27 that says, God bearing them witness. God left them not without witness in that he gave them fruitful seasons. They understand that the very food they have by the grace of God. And so it's appeared to all men, and obviously in Christianity. But Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, and these are some things we looked at, that's why we're going rather rapidly, is that Titus chapter 2, verse 11, if you look at verse 12 through 14, it's appeared to all men teaching us, grace teaches, that denying a worldliness and fleshly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present age. You and I need to understand, grace teaches, and it lays upon us a burden of response. I'm saved by grace through faith, yes, but grace teaches you about righteousness. Grace teaches you about the way you ought to live. It's not all by grace. And so we need to understand that. And then we pointed out, and we'll come back to this some other time in this study, the Lord said, I have given you Jericho. You need to understand, and we left this point out, we need to put this in, and that grace boundary is set by God, and that's why that's where Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 comes in, and that Jericho was given as a gift to them. I have given you Jericho. Well, okay, it's ours. No, it's not. God says, you go march around the city. What happened? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. That's what Hebrews 11 said. Jericho was a gift of God by faith. But Hebrews 11 says it was by faith after they had encompassed the city for 7 days. You understand grace and faith and works? There it is. What's grace? I've given you. What's faith? Here's what I want you to do. And the obedience is the works. It is the works that follow out of that. And if we'll understand faith, we will understand If we'll understand faith, we will then be able to understand grace and faith and works. We will be able to understand all of these things provided we understand what faith is. But until you understand grace, you'll not understand faith. Until you understand faith, you will not understand grace. And you'll not understand grace or works until you understand grace and faith. And you can tie all of this together, and I can make about six sentences out of that. But today, we're going to look at faith in order that we might understand grace and these things that abound. Now, let's talk about the definition of it in this respect, talk about how it is illustrated. Let's illustrate what faith is, even before we define it. I at one time started here with the word definition, and then I thought, that's not what this is all about. You already know what faith is, and that is about where we were when we finished up this study last week. We're right in the middle of talking about this. We need to understand where faith comes from. You can quote Hebrews 10:17. You can quote Romans 10:17, can you not? So then faith comes by hearing. Isn't that amazing? Where's it come from? Comes by hearing. Now that hearing can be reading, it can be conversation, but it comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the Word of God. Now the Great Commission shows us how hearing produces faith. Take just a moment as we think about how the Great Commission illustrates that, and understand in the very giving of the Great Commission, there was that commandment to go preach the gospel to every creature. And so we need to analyze that Great Commission, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God and the Great Commission. Look at the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19. Go make disciples of what? All nations. You know? And then what does he say? Well, baptizing them, teaching them. That's how you make disciples. You baptize them, you teach them. That's how disciples are made. That's the Great Commission. Look at Mark 16:15. Go preach the gospel to every creature. That's verse 15. You know what verse 16 says? Talks about salvation. He who believes, well, why would he believe? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And we need to understand that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so that's why the verse says, preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Look at Luke 24 when the Great Commission is given. It's stated in a different way. But it says that it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, and that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's amazing. Where's it going to all start? At Jerusalem? What's going to bring it about? It will be you going out and teaching these things, and people will be converted as a result of that. Now, that's why we turn our attention to illustrations of the Great Commission. I've never, until last week, never talked about this is what faith is without giving the definition of it. I start with a definition, but I want you already know the definition. You may not be able to verbalize it, but you know what faith is. Look in Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2. What happened? Great Commission fulfilled, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus of Nazareth. Here's the sermon. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did in your midst, as ye yourself also know, that you by wicked of hands, lawless hands, have crucified Jesus. Now, God did not leave him without witness. who was approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did in the midst of him. And you know that. That's their faith. You know that. It was something they had already knew, and based on that, he causes them to take another view of this. And so he says, when you get in Acts chapter 2, he says, this Jesus is God raised up. We're witnesses of that. He's at the right hand of God. He's poured out this on the day of Pentecost. This which you are seeing, remember the tongues of fire? This which you are seeing, and this that you are hearing. What's that? These men speaking in all of these unlearned languages, languages they had never learned. And so being at the right hand of God, he's poured all of this out. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Now, that'll help you define faith. Faith is based upon hearing and knowing, and that faith being an assured knowledge. I mean, God could have sent Jesus and he never did a miracle. Jesus would have been on this earth. Guess what? Men would not have seen him as the Son of God. There's no way they could have seen him as the Son of God. And so it was on the day of Pentecost. There were these signs that were given, tongues of fire, and them speaking in all of these languages. And that is the evidence. And they know this. And then they'd been eyewitnesses. Well, somebody said, well, does that mean we have to see a miracle to believe they ever happened? You remember the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16? Send Lazarus back from the dead that he may warn my brother. Now, you need to hear these words from heaven. You know, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. And if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, if they will not listen, they would not believe even if they saw somebody raised from the dead. Isn't that amazing? To me, that is a remarkable affirmation. And that's why, as Peter says, John says, we heard him, we saw him, and we touched him, and we're right, and our joy is full. 1 John chapter 1, he says, we're writing these things to you so that your joy might be fulfilled. Just by reading. The joy that we had by seeing, you see by faith. And you understand that. Do you believe Jesus lived on this earth? Yes. Why? The evidence is there. And so they had a visual manifestation of this. Then the Bible says, those that gladly receive the word. And there's the difference. When the gospel is preached, there are those who receive it and those who refuse to receive it. It does not say then those that receive the word, those that gladly receive the word. And when that happens, they come to a realization that their life is not what God wants it to be. And when they heard that Jesus was the Son of God, their faith caused them to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? We killed God's Son. What are we going to do about this? What happened? Well, they didn't have faith. They didn't believe this. And now they believed it. What is faith? It is a change of an attitude in your heart toward the evidence that has been presented to you. That's what faith is. Faith gives substance to things not seen. Does your view of the empty tomb have substance? When you think of the empty tomb, can you see that stone rolled back? If you'd gone to the Bible lands, like those women did, and they saw the stone had been rolled back, if you'd been those women, would they have believed any stronger than you do that the stone has been rolled back? Isn't that amazing? Faith is as strong as sight. In fact, you can evidence that faith is stronger than sight. You know, knowing what you knew, it's Sunday morning, you're going with the women. You know what they're going to find when they get to that tomb. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And your knowledge of what happens is just as strong as their knowledge. And so it was those individuals had to deal with the empty tomb. And even the unbelievers had to deal, with the empty tomb there in the first century. Now, that's Acts 2. Look in Acts 8. In Acts chapter 8, Philip goes to Samaria to preach. Verse 5 says, he arrived there and he preached Christ to them. What's going to happen? Faith comes by hearing. Now that's verse 5, you preach Christ to them. Verse 12 mentions two other things that he preached about. He preached about the church. When he gets up there, he tells them about the church and describes it as the kingdom. And so the Bible says when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, all that is encompassed in the name of Jesus. He preached about the authority that Jesus has in the name of Jesus. When they believed, they were baptized. What had they believed before Philip arrived there in that city? There's a man there, a religious leader there, a sorcerer whose name is Simon. And he had convinced the people that he was some great individual. They believed in Simon. But they now no longer believe in Simon, the sorcerer. Now you think about a sorcerer. I'm not sure exactly how they use the sorcerer. You know, sorcerers might help you if you have a toothache. I'm not sure. Have a backache. I'm not sure. You understand? But you want to know what you ought to do with your life? Go ask a sorcerer. Go to a witch. People do that today, do they not? Witchcraft's still here. Ask those individuals in Haiti about all of the voodooism there is there in Haiti. Their faith is in their gods. They may not describe it as their gods. This time it's described as Simon. Think about individuals who, in the name of Jesus, have hoodwinked individuals. If I talk about Kool-Aid, and what was that guy's name down in Central America? Was it Jones or Jim Jones? Was that his name? I forgot his first name. Why on earth do they drink that Kool-Aid? Because their faith is in that individual. The reason I'm going in this direction is I'm trying to get you to understand what faith is. Faith, how do you define love? Well, it's got a lot of facets. How do you define faith? Let the book of Acts define faith for you. In fact, I think I've got Acts 19 on the slide there. Whenever in Acts 19, Paul is in Ephesus. Now they're there worshiping, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Their faith is in that temple that is there one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. They really believed that in the back room of that temple, and by the way, it somewhat looked like it had a holy place and a most holy place if you read secular evidence of it. But inside that temple was the statue of the goddess Athena. And they believed that she, at least that statue, was a statue of Athena, and that statue had fallen down out of the heavens. It is remarkable. They were afraid to go in there because of the voluptuous nature of Diana. It's amazing. They believed in that so much that if anybody, any criminal on earth, stayed within, I think it was 200 yards of that temple to Diana, they could not be prosecuted for their crimes. Their faith was in that temple. Now, Paul arrived. Well, how'd you like to go to church and have within 200 yards every criminal in Palm Beach County? I mean, but you understand, that's the faith they had in Athena, Diana. Now, think about this. Paul went and preached. Acts chapter 18 says, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And when he gets to Ephesus, there are those individuals who cast out that demon in the name of Paul, or tries to cast out that demon in the name of Paul, sons of Sceva. Remember that story? The demon jumped on them and attacked them and said, "We know Paul, we just don't know you." And the Bible says, as a result of that one incident, the city was transformed. They had heard about in the name of Jesus. And they brought their books and items that were involved in their idolatrous worship and service of Diana. And the value of the books was 50,000 pieces of silver. Do you know how valuable books were? Do you know what a rarity books were? How much is 50,000 pieces of silver? Well, we've talked about the fact that the wages of a man was a penny, was a drachma, you understand. It was a denarius. That's a laborer's, unskilled laborers. That's not the kind of wages that skilled individuals received. They received a much higher wage. For example, a doctor receives 6 drachmas per day, 6 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know if you've seen how much money is involved in going to the doctor, and that money is coming somewhere, or he's getting that money somewhere. You see, whenever we talk, we're not talking about 50,000 days' wages. Now, you take the minimum wage, and you can figure out pretty much what that 50th, but we're not talking about a denarius, we're talking about a drachma. The wages of a skilled laborer. And, you know, somebody that, well, all that you had in skilled laborers, without trying to be overly specific about it. And so, you stop and think about it. Take that wages and make it the minimum wage, 50,000 days wages. At what? It's not $7 an hour McDonald's is hiring for now. It's what? Is it $12 an hour? Is that that's $500 a week, something like that? That's, what's that? not $100 a day, but to round it up to $100. Well, 12 times 5 days would be, well, you do the math anyway. Just take the minimum wage. But this is not minimum wage. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of valuable books were brought into that city and burned. Why? Because of faith. They believed in Diana, and now they believe in Jesus. What is faith? It is that part of you that causes you to embrace a philosophy about life. Acts 2, they believed in Moses and the prophets and the scribes and the Pharisees and Judaism. Acts 8, they believed in Simon the sorcerer. Let's look at Corinth. I believe Corinth is next up there. We mentioned this verse a moment ago. Acts 8, 18, verse 8 says, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now on the screen, I've got 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 gives a list of sins. Do you not know? And then a list of some of the sins that at one time in America would be hesitant to even mention. Effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. That's the way King James tried to translate that Greek word so it would not be offensive. What it's talking about is homosexuals. And the latter translations make no, just openly, blatantly said, some of you were homosexuals, and the effeminate abusers of mankind is both the male and the female part in that relationship. It says you were drunkards. You were adulterers. But you were washed. You were cleansed. You were these things, but no longer are you these things. What happened? They believed. And guys, that's what Bible study is all about. I hope as you're reading through Matthew, and aren't you enjoying that? I hope you're enjoying that as much as I am. Reading through Matthew, knowing that my brothers in Christ are reading this same chapter today, and just gives me comfort in knowing I'm a part of something that's pretty special going on. Now, you can read that intellectually, or you can sit at the feet of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount and let Jesus talk about your life. You've heard that it said hath been said. That's what you used to believe. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. Bless them that curse you. And all of a sudden, if you will read that passage of Scripture, listen to it. Faith comes by hearing. And if you have faith, instead of the values that you used to have and the way you were brought up and the way you've acted all of these years, all of a sudden Jesus is saying, transform your life. You've heard that it hath been said. And sit there and read Matthew. What about forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. Intellectually, I remember I was the Lord's Prayer. I'd say it, just throw my brain out of gear, and I'd say the Lord's Prayer. Or you can think about that individual that has wronged you, and you say, God, forgive me like I am forgiving my enemy. Call that enemy by name. Treat the mistakes that I've made in my life just exactly like I treat the mistakes that my enemy has made. That's what faith is. It is the very substance of our relationship to the Lord. And so you read that. You read in that reading, after all of these things, material things, do the pagans seek. That's an intellectual thing. No, it's not. It's a heart thing. If you'll sit there and read the words of Jesus just like you were there in the when the Sermon on the Mount was proclaimed, it will change you. Why? Faith changes you. Whatever happened in Acts 2 and whatever happens in Acts 8 and whatever happens, you know, in Acts 18 or in Acts 19, whatever happens is exactly what God wanted us to happen in our lives. And there's transformation. Such were some of you. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's the way the world is. That's the way pagans behave. That's the way unbelievers behave. And when I let the world set the standard of my righteousness. What did Samuel say? Eli, what do you want? Eli, what do you want? What did Eli tell him to go do? Go, when you hear that voice again, speak, Lord, your servant's hearing. Jeff, Leslie, you may not remember an invitation you gave in this building 5 years ago. Powerful. Are you listening? Jeff was up here, would extend the invitation. He walked over there to that. Can you hear me? Are you listening? And the application. In this sermon that we hear in this class, in what we hear in personal daily Bible reading, can you hear me? That's what faith is. By grace are you saved through faith. And on the personal level, transformation of your life, you read the scriptures and God says, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Are you listening now? That's what faith is. Look at the case of Paul, Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. He's headed for Damascus. And something happens. On the road to Damascus, Jesus appears to him, and Jesus said, I've appeared to you so that you can be a witness. Paul defends what happened on the road of Damascus whenever he said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus? That's why the Lord appeared to him. Who art thou, Lord? When the voice out of heaven says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He doesn't mean Lord Jesus. He means, who's that? Somebody greater than me is talking. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. And what you are doing is hard for you. You've got to hear that. It's not, please, Paul, stop persecuting me. It's hurting me. No, it's hard for you when you're kicking back against God trying to get inside your heart. And God's trying to get through the heart of every time He sees the faith of those He's persecuting and every message. You think He could not remember the sermon that Stephen preached? When he was a witness to Stephen's death, you think he could not hear that? Are you listening? Can you hear me, Saul? Nope. I've got another agenda, and my agenda is not to violate the law of God. And by that he means the Old Testament. You're Jesus. Okay. What do you want me to do? Go into the city and you will find out. Why did not Jesus tell him, arise and be baptized? Brother Keeble said, it's not that Jesus didn't know the answer. It wasn't that Jesus didn't know the answer. He gave the answer. But God's plan is for people to hear. How shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's the plan of God for men to have faith, because there are those who have faith who go out and tell the world. If he'd taught Paul without a preacher, then being no respecter of person, he'd have to appear to every one of us on whatever road we're traveling on today, in all fairness. And he had as much right to reject the instructions of Ananias. Now what happens? He goes into the city. What are you waiting on, Saul? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. He did it immediately. And then this statement. And immediately in the synagogues, he went and preached Jesus. What happened? That's what faith is. That's what faith is. You know, I'm back away from my slides. Go ahead and put that next slide and see if we don't make that personal in the next line. Put the next slide up there. Look at those words. Faith illustrated and defined in your life. What happened when you were saved? It's parallel. I had a system of values, whether it's taught by my parents, taught by my culture, taught by my own internal philosophy, and I get smarter than God and I can figure it all out. But there came that time when I bowed before Jesus and says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I was ready to change my whole system of values, my whole philosophy of life. I'm not going to be like the pagans. I'm not just going to agape them that agape me. It's pretty easy to be friends with somebody that's your friend. That's what agape is. It's love. Pretty easy to love them that love you. I say to you, you love the person that's done the most wrong to you ever in your life. That's not easy. And that's why it takes all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's the great commandment, isn't it? Get your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength involved in this. And I embrace that with all of my heart. And if you haven't done that, and you're sitting here this morning, you haven't done that. Don't you get out of this building. Because He has spoken. And the question is, can you hear Him? Are you listening to Him? We'll have to hurry through these next few slides because I hate to even rush through it. Understanding faith. Faith is not blind faith. It's not blind faith. We need to understand that when it comes to this matter, if you can get to that slide that says faith is never blind, there is evidence. Oh, okay, I've changed the slides, changed them early this morning. Hebrews 11. I made major points out of this, and I made a minor points based on Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of hope. I love Brother Gus Nichols. When he said it, I thought that is as profound a thing as I've ever heard, and so I don't take credit for it. It's profound when I heard it. I think it's profound. He said, I finally got to go over to the Bible land. I put my feet down in the Jordan River. Guess what? With my feet inside the Jordan River, I did not believe that the Jordan River existed any more when I had my foot in it than before I ever got there. I believe it. God says it. It's not blind faith. You and I need to understand that faith is substance. It's the evidence. Now, it's not evidence that cannot, it's blind faith. Just cross your fingers and throw salt over your shoulders and don't walk under a ladder and maybe Jesus will turn out to be true. Overwhelming evidence that He's the Son of God. But you see, even without that's why the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him because there is the evidence. And God has given us that evidence so much that He is, and that God is there as a part of that. And He's given us these things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe. Believe what? That God is. And that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. That's what this Kleist Guys is all about. God wants you in heaven. Trust Him. You know what Hebrews 11 shows us? Hebrews 11 shows us exactly what faith is, and it's illustrated time and again of God, times God, people to whom God spoke, and they listened to God and they reacted on what God said. Because faith is trusting God enough to obey Him. That's a stopping point. You want faith defined? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's it. We'll start right here next week.